Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is John. It is June 8th, 2016, and I am so glad to welcome you to episode number 3 of Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. On tonight's show, we're going to be talking all about WWE Raw, SmackDown results, and spoilers. All that good stuff coming up next, and of course we will be doing what we always do, WWE news and rumors exclusively here on Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. And as a special treat tonight, NXT The End is live on the air right now as we speak. We will wrap up tonight's show with results and reactions from the biggest show Wednesday night has ever seen, only here. Live on Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. And now, the moment you've all been waiting for, live from Cleveland, Ohio, the host of the show, Big T.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 3 on today, Wednesday, June 8, 2016, brand new episode of Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. And thank you for the wonderful intro, Sean, as always. Thank you. Glad to have you here tonight with us, everybody, and same for you as well, Sean.
Thank you.
And just to dive right in to, you know, basically what's kind of on my mind and going on here. You know, we had a couple of things. First of all, my weekend, you know, was good. It was quiet, but, you know, uneventful, just chilling out at home and finally got better from that cold. My voice is back 100%. I'm sure it's all of you could tell. Nothing holding me back this week like the previous 2 weeks. Because now my cough has even cleared up, so I am good to go. But enough about my cold. You know, just to, you know, having time to reflect on the week that has passed in the sport of professional wrestling. I look at, you know, some great things, and I look at some really horrible things. I mean, great things that happened this week for you UFC fans out there. Of course, we all know Brock Lesnar's taking on Mark Hunt at UFC 200. Absolutely incredible. I will definitely be watching the show, and I'm sure all of you Brock Lesnar fans will be watching the show as well. That's the great thing. You go from Brock Lesnar being into the UFC, which is one of the most monumental things, and then, you know, you take a look around and you see NXT, like what I'm watching right now live as we speak with NXT The End. And I see how great all of these talents are doing in the ring. And then I look at the main roster, or the so-called main roster, as the WWE likes to call it. And Vince McMahon is so out of touch, so disorganized. I mean, it's unbelievable. It is absolutely unbelievable. I know I touched on this last week for, you know, my opening monologue and opening thoughts, but I really have to touch on this again, because one of the major things that is wrong with the main roster, you could look at it all, you could look at them making Roman look strong, you could look at all this and that, and believe me, those are things that are very annoying, and those are things that are wrong with the main roster. But if you want to talk about the main roster just hitting rock bottom, going through the ground, basically going underground, beneath rock bottom. Major problems with the main roster is problems like we see when we have to continually see the Golden Truth and Breezango? I mean, we've seen it on Raw and SmackDown now, some variation of those four. But like the past, I would say 4 weeks already. You either get a tag match between the two teams or a singles match between a combination of the four men. And the comedy is the most cheesy shit that I've ever seen. It is fucking shameful. That storyline alone, believe me, there's a bunch of other things that is wrong, and there's a bunch of other things that will be wrong. But this, I have to admit to you, makes me embarrassed to be a fan of the sport of professional wrestling. Just to see what these guys are relegated to see that a star like Tyler Breeze is in the position he's in. I don't know. There's no way these guys can be happy. It is such an embarrassment. It is a way to waste your talent in the worst possible way, like I've said before. But now what I'm going to tell everybody is, how long does this have to go on? Well, I'll tell you. If it was me, I would have pulled the plug on it after week one. If it was me, there probably wouldn't have even been, there would have never been this idea to begin with. I think that Vince McMahon, if you want my perspective, I think that Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn, all of the higher ups in the back, they think for some reason that this is funny. They think for some reason that this is what kids want to see. They are taking us for basically stupid idiots. It's like they think we are stupid because we are fans. We'll eat up this crap that they give us. And no, that's not the case. Things like that is inexcusable. And I know they're going to do stupid, cheesy storylines with other talent going down the line. These guys are not the first, and these guys will not be the last. They will make other guys go through this, but why does this have to be a part of the show? Why? How are we benefiting from it? All it is doing, for at least hardcore fans like me that I speak for, all it is doing is pissing us off. It's making us want to fall asleep. It's making us not even want to tune into the show. And, you know, I, of course, will watch under any circumstance, but I gotta be honest with you guys. Like, now you're listening to me on a podcast, but like to do a live show right after Raw, you know, and do a review right after Raw on YouTube, it makes it hard. I'm glad that Sean got in touch with me on Monday night and said, let's do a bonus episode. Let's do the mock draft, which if you want to check out that episode, search Beyond the Ring with Big T on Podomatic or iTunes. Subscribe to the podcast and check it out. Mock draft. Top 35 picks. It was an incredible, incredible show, and I had much more fun covering that, doing a mock draft, than I did watching Monday Night Raw. And you're going to see my displeasure in the product in the Raw review and reactions that we're about to do. But the only thing that I can implore the WWE on, and what this whole opening thought is about, when I'm trying to get across to the WWE themselves, if they were listening, if they were watching and I had to give them a pitch as to how to turn things around and keep your ratings from falling, this stuff has to come to an end. It's okay to have family-friendly entertainment, but this is to the point where it's insulting, where it is absolutely insulting to the viewer, even the kids. This is stuff that you would see in a kindergarten or a preschool class playing out with grown men on live TV in the 10 o'clock hour of Monday Night Raw and, you know, SmackDown, and we'll probably get it on Raw again next week. God forbid, we'll probably get it on SmackDown on Thursday. This needs to come to an end. These teams are not going anywhere. They're not facing anybody else on the roster except themselves. And it's ridiculous. It really is. But, you know, that's how I feel. Thank you, Sean.
Well said.
It's, you know, that's just how I feel, and I hope everybody respects, you know, what I gotta say.
One quick question.
You sound a little bit low, bud. I'm sorry.
Hello?
Hello?
All right, there you go.
One quick question. So, you like the New Day, but maybe you're not a fan of Rizzo. Man, I'm never that.
Let's see. Hold on. I'm checking my connection. I'm having a little bit of audio issues.
Hello, hello?
All right, there we go. I'm showing one bar below full strength. Your voice was cutting on that last sequence, so I hope everything will be okay going forward.
Well, one quick question I just have. Now, I know you're a fan of the New Day, and if you ask me if Breezango is preschool, the New Day is like, you know, baby, like, you know, you're still in the freaking hospital because you just got out of the nursery. I mean, maybe it's that you don't like Breezango because it's someone that beat Chris Jericho at WrestleMania.
No, trust me, that has nothing to do with it. The New Day to me is more of adult, goofy comedy that everybody can laugh at that's fresh. Breezango is just stupid.
Yeah.
Like the New Day, I could crack a smile, I could laugh, along with everybody else in the audience. Cause I've seen, you know, in my experience going to like WrestleMania and live events, so many people are smiling, laughing, dancing along with the New Day. When Breezango comes out, you know, I've seen more excitement at a funeral. Because it's stupid.
People hated the New Day for the first year too. When they were supposed to be liked.
Well, the New Day, yes, they were a heel team.
No.
Even though they were a heel team, they were loved.
The New Day was supposed to be babyface when they started, but the fans hated them. And then the fans, a year later, finally said, oh, you know what, we're never going to get rid of them, so we might as well, you know, suck up to
them. Well, I'll tell you, you know, honestly, too, I hated the New Day when they started. They were boring. They had no direction. They had no character. They were basically just three mid-card guys shoved together in a faction for the sake to be on TV. And then they finally took the handcuffs off and they let them loose. They let them be who they could be. And they are some of the funniest guys.
I'm sorry. And
why fans fell in love with them.
Xavier Woods is not a mid-card guy. Kofi Kingston and Big E, yeah, they're mid-card guys. Xavier Woods is just a jobber that got lucky.
Well, yeah, Xavier Woods, really, he should be a manager. He shouldn't really even be considered, you know, full-time on the physical part because you barely see him in the ring, yes. I look at Xavier Woods better as a manager from a manager standpoint while Big E and Kofi do the work. And Xavier Woods can, you know, play the trombone, do his little comedy act, you know, try to get the fans involved while Big E and Kofi's doing the work. That's the thing I love about Xavier Woods.
Speaking of managers, little sneak peek, Paul Ellerbe appearing on
Oh my God. Did you just see that on NXT TakeOver The End?
I think so. What was that?
That was Bobby Roode.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I had heard about that.
He walked into Regal's office and now Regal went in after him. Bobby Roode, former TNA World Champ, is in the building. What does this mean?
Let's head on over to Raw and then we'll get, you know, into NXT as soon as we possibly can, because we're about to get into this first ever cage match on NXT. Pretty damn cool. But here we go. Raw results for June 6, 2016 by Brandon Stroud of UpRocks.com. First up on Raw, we had Cesaro defeat Chris Jericho. Cesaro defeated Jericho by submission after a giant swing and a sharpshooter.
Oh, man. I mean, I understand, okay. And I don't hate Cesaro for it because I am a Cesaro fan. I understand that Jericho had to put Cesaro over. Sorry, I'm just in awe at this steel cage, the way they're having to close and go around the ring. It's incredible. But, you know, I understand why Chris Jericho, you know, they had him tap. Cesaro needs to look strong. He needs to, you know, he needs to be elevated. And Jericho did the job, because I'm sure Chris Jericho, after the Money in the Bank match, he will probably be gone, you know, touring or doing what he's got to do after that. But, I mean, you know, the match was okay. I think they could have gave it a little bit more time, to be honest with you. I think they kind of rushed it too fast, and they didn't have it live up to the full potential that it could be. And that was my main problem with it. But hats off to Cesaro.
Well, it sounds like a good match. You know, I wasn't home until 10:30 on Monday night, so I still have this on DVR. I gotta catch up with it, but sounds like a great match. And second up, Rusev defeated Jack Swagger in the second match of the night.
That match is an absolute joke. An absolute joke. I mean, we've seen it. God, I've seen it probably more than 10 times. It was a joke. Swagger is more and more of a jobber as time goes on. I mean, he's just getting worse and worse. I'm waiting just get cut because you know what? His career is flatlining. One big flatline, and I'm just waiting for him to go. I mean, he's absolutely useless. Absolutely useless the way that WWE is booking him. And you know what? That's their fault. But they damaged him so far beyond repair that I can't even take him. Seriously anymore. And that's the WWE. They don't know how to treat certain talent. And to me, that match was an absolute joke.
All right. You heard it, ladies and gentlemen. Jack Swagger ain't what he used to be, and you got WWE to thank for that. So after that, we had John Cena call out AJ Styles and the club to confront them for what happened to him last week. Styles said that people like Cena bury guys like him, and he's got the club behind him to make sure that that don't happen no more. Cena called Styles' WWE run a failure. Wow. And the club tried to attack, but New Day made the save for John Cena. Wow, I'm just absolutely, you know, like if I woke up from a coma today and, you know, I had never seen wrestling before, I would absolutely despise John Cena and the New Day. Like that's just like, I feel like it's not even edgy enough for Nick Jr. The club is where it's at.
I do gotta say the club is more edgy, but I'm a big John Cena fan. And you know, like, that's my opinion. I'm sticking to it. People can think of it what they will. I'm 100% for John Cena. I hope John Cena destroys AJ Styles and sends him back to where he came from. And, you know, does that mean the club is bad? No, I like the club. I like the club, you know, better than the New Day, but I can admit, you know, that I'm biased when it comes to John Cena because I have been a John Cena fan for many, many years, and,
What's wrong with that? I'm just saying this storyline is absolute garbage. Like, his character.
Oh, yeah.
His character is like, oh my god, I just developed type 2 diabetes with all this sweet bullshit.
Yeah, like, the storyline and the way that it's booked is so poor, it's not even funny. Like, I can only imagine what John Cena could really do on that microphone if the WWE would take off the handcuffs and let him go. But they'll never do it. They want him to get more kiddish, more cartoony, and, like you said, it's not edgy enough for Nick Jr. I mean, pretty soon, WWE might as well just be rated G.
What?
The main roster, at least, might as well be rated G. Honestly. Between the Golden Truth and Breezango and the whole Cena and the New Day thing, and then you could turn the club into, like, the evil villains and the G-rated Saturday morning cartoons. I mean, you know, this is basically what the main roster should be rated.
Well, we'll see how that develops. I think AJ Styles is going to deliver a big upset to Mr. You Can't See Me, John Cena. And in our third match of the night, the Vaudevillains defeated their NXT rivals, Enzo Amore and Big Cass. They won by disqualification when Big Cass wouldn't stop attacking them for trying to intentionally injure Enzo again. And after the match, Cass beat them up and stood tall.
I don't know where this is leading. It went from the two teams fighting to Stephanie McMahon announcing later on in the show to do a fatal four-way tag title match of Money in the Bank with Enzo and Cass, Vaudevillains, The New Day, and the Dudleys.
You want to have a quick little prediction for this cage match coming up?
Yeah, I'll take a little prediction on this one. I will say, for my prediction on this cage match, I think Samoa Joe is going to win, and this will then in turn open the door for the opportunity for Finn Balor to make his main roster debut possibly at Money in the Bank or the night after Money in the Bank and join the club.
I think there's going to be some convoluted ending where Finn Balor, like, escapes the cage. I don't know. Like, I don't think this is going to end cleanly. I hope Finn Balor wins. That's all I know. But I don't really have a prediction what's going to happen because it's so, like, this being the very first cage match in NXT history, it's going to be something else.
I think this is going to lead to all the TNA guys possibly, you know, having a match with Samoa Joe. Like, I could see a fatal four-way with Aries and Eric Young and Bobby Roode, you know, Austin Aries and Samoa Joe. And a fatal four-way for the NXT title. Because I believe that WWE will do that just to showcase the TNA talent, to stick it to TNA in a way, like to say, yeah, look, you dropped the ball with these guys because you didn't have money to pay them. You let them go. Look at what we're doing with them. Look at the show that we're putting on with all of them. Like, eat your hearts out.
All right, let's get back to Raw. That's cage match is going on live. We'll keep you posted if anything crazy happens. But Alberto Del Rio defeated Sami Zayn in the fourth match of Monday Night Raw.
Complete bullshit. Complete and utter bullshit. Alberto Del Rio has done nothing. Oh my god, for as many months as I could possibly think of, and now all of a sudden he beats Sami Zayn. Give me a fucking break. I mean, really? You know, Alberto Del Rio gets the win. I have nothing against Alberto Del Rio. I don't hate Alberto Del Rio. From a standpoint of a storyline, it does not make sense. You are trying to push Sami Zayn. You are trying to push the new era of talent. You are trying to, you know, make Sami Zayn look like a major contender in the Money in the Bank because he's going to be one of your lead guys, one of the top underdogs, a guy that I think could be possibly like the next Daniel Bryan, and you have him lose to somebody that has done nothing in Alberto Del Rio. I mean, that is shameful. Whoever booked that garbage, oh my god. Yeah. Just horrible.
Well, like they say, you can't win them all, so hopefully it leads to better things for Sami Zayn, a good motivation loss. Dean Ambrose defeated Kevin Owens in the fifth match via the Dirty Deeds.
You know what? There's nothing really bad about the match, okay? I mean, Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens always have good matches, but we've seen it so many times now. It has been rehashed over and over and over and over again. Just so many times that I can't even count. And remember all the times Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens were fighting on the live events when they were in the middle of their rivalry on the house shows, when we would read the results on the house shows, how many times they fought then. So it's like, how many times are you going to put those two guys in a ring for people to see? I think it's too much. I think it's getting overloaded. Try to separate these guys already. And maybe have them meet back up when you're talking a world title being on the line with those two men. But right now, too many matches in too little time, and they need to take a break on it. Even though the match was good, just too many times seeing the same thing. It's just like with Kevin Owens and Cesaro, overbooked over and over again. That's what we got last week. This week, Kevin Owens, Dean Ambrose, overbooked, seen it over and over and over. They gotta ease up and start thinking of new things.
Well, it just goes to show you that WWE's creative has totally jumped the shark when it comes to they're so afraid to go out on a limb and put the championship on someone who deserves it like Kevin Owens or, you know, Dean Ambrose, and they have to keep Roman Reigns like the sacred cow. So all the guys, all the guys underneath the champion are stuck in deja vu land.
Exactly.
Tyler Breeze versus R-Truth ended quickly in a double disqualification when Goldust and Fandango interfered. Teddy Long emerged and tried to restart the match as a tag team match, but Stephanie McMahon stopped him and threw him out of the building. Hopefully, we will never see him again.
Now they
even have Stephanie and Teddy Long trying to put the Golden Truth over.
Yeah, that's exactly the point that I was about getting ready to dive in and make here is how many people you have to try to get involved just to get these two teams over. Or maybe the main focus is to get the Golden Truth over. I don't know. You know what I think of the Golden Truth? You want my honest opinion on the Golden Truth? I'll tell you what they are. They're the AARP senior team. Yeah. Both guys are 50 plus, probably on AARP, well beyond their prime. You know what? Their prime was so long ago that it's buried in a casket in the ground somewhere that if you dig it up and open up the casket, you won't even see, you know, flesh of their prime anymore. It's just bones and dust sitting in the fucking casket because their prime is gone. Their prime is gone. They're even beyond their twilight years. They are hanging on with every last breath that they have. And they will never get anywhere. They will fail and fail and fail because nobody gives a shit. Nobody. Nobody does. I even know, you know, a kid that's 12 years old. One of my buddies has a son that's 12 years old. And he even tells me, he's like, Big T, he's like, man, what's been going on, you know, Raw and SmackDown with, you know, the Golden Truth of Breezango? Like, this is so stupid. Like, I watch all the Attitude Era on the network. The Attitude Era is great. You know, I love all those shows. Like, why is today so different compared to the old days? This is a 12-year-old! A 12-year-old kid wants a second coming of the Attitude Era and basically begging for WWE to stop with this garbage. And he's 12. This is the audience they supposedly cater to, right? And he even hates it. So that's a serious problem right there. All right, if one 12-year-old hates it, you know there's other kids out there that probably hate it too. They're probably thinking to themselves, wow, I watch cooler things on Saturday morning cartoons than I do on Raw. Because at least on Saturday morning cartoons with, you know, like your superheroes, you know, it's like Spider-Man, Superman, whatever, Batman, at least there's some violence. And it's not all cheesy bullshit. It's horrible. I mean, hey, whether you like it or not, that's my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. Because this is how I feel. This sucks. This is horrible.
Well.
And by the way, fuck Breezango and fuck the Golden Truth. And I hope we never have to see it again and they could kiss my big fat white ass.
All right. Well, let's wrap up Monday Night Raw here. The club, they defeated the New Day. Thank God.
It's about time the club does something, right? They finally got a win. What was that?
What?
I heard something come over the audio. That was weird.
Oh, I just turned my volume back up. Maybe that
was... Oh, okay. All right, no problem.
Well, that was Monday Night Raw, people. See, what's your rating?
Wow, all right. Well, first of all, let me say about the match about the New Day in the club. It's about time. It is about time that the club got over and actually won a match. Good for them. They deserve it because God knows they've been buried by the Usos so many times. I mean, it's, you know, ridiculous. But it's funny though, isn't it? Club's not fighting Roman Reigns and the Usos anymore. So it's funny right away now how they could get the win, right? It's like, God forbid we don't have the club beat Roman Reigns with the Usos. Cause they're the bloodline. Can't beat them, no. That just goes to show you how much Roman is just hanging from Vince's ball sack. And it's inexcusable. But, oh my God. I'm just thinking of this whole show. I'm in a complete tailspin, you know, just thinking about it. First of all, this Raw was in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, in the Chesapeake Energy Arena. Where was the energy? Where was the energy? There was no energy. You know what? I have seen more energy in a funeral when people are done with the mourning part of it and they're actually reminiscing and celebrating the deceased person's life. I have seen a celebration of life at a funeral with more excitement that was in that crowd at Monday Night Raw. And the people that went to that show in Oklahoma City should be ashamed of themselves. Absolutely ashamed of themselves. I mean, the show was terrible. It was terrible. There was no energy. There was, you know, just stupid things happening. Rehashed matches. Just boredom. I mean, at one point the crowd was so dead you could hear the air conditioning running for God's sakes in the building. When that happens, you know, you have a serious problem. And they should really look into fixing this because this is inexcusable. Honestly, I'm tired of giving the benefit of the doubt because I have to suffer through this fucking bullshit every week. And I really got tired of it this week. I mean, I know they'll pull it together for Money in the Bank. They usually pull it together for pay-per-views and, you know, make the wrestling good and make it worthwhile. But I'll tell you, they just can't get it together for Raw and SmackDown. They're just so out of touch. Vince McMahon, you know, is the lead one that's out of touch. And it just keeps getting worse. I'm not being generous. I'm not giving a benefit of the doubt because these people are getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars a year or perhaps millions of dollars a year to create a show, produce a show, run a show, whatever your position is, and you give us garbage time and time again, week after week. You know what they get? They get a 1 out of 10. A 1. That's it. They failed. They failed. What about you, Sean? Did you see,
I only saw the last half hour, so. I mean, I'll take your word for it, but.
It was horrible. It was horrible. Well, and you know what? Like I said, this is my opinion, straightforward, uncensored. Take it for what it's worth. You know what? If you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you because this is how it is, straightforward. So take it however you want.
That's all.
I'm just like it is.
And it's that time of the night where, you know, we won't be able to do it for too much longer, but we got Thursday night SmackDown spoilers real quick to run over for your enjoyment. This is by Eric Beeston, a featured columnist on BleacherReport.com. He talks about SmackDown spoilers, Amore and Big Cass versus the Club's Carl Anderson. It ended in a double disqualification when the Vaudevillains and the New Day both interfered. Neil, who took exception to the United States champion disgracing the memory of Muhammad Ali, interrupted Rusev's backstage interview. He vowed to beat the Bulgarian Brute and take the title at Money in the Bank. And then we had Kevin Owens and Alberto Del Rio. They defeated Sami Zayn and Cesaro. So midway through that match, Owens and Zayn renewed their rivalry, brawling backstage in the backstage area. When Owens emerged, he did not hesitate to attack his own partner before pinning the Swiss superstar for the win. And in the women's match of the night, we had Becky Lynch defeat Dana Brooke via submission. Bob Backlund continued his quest to make Darren Young great again with a green tape vignette. Baron Corbin defeated former United States champion Kalisto with Dolph Ziggler watching on from a commentary position. The feud got between them and the Lone Wolf, seemingly destined to go on for eternity. Apollo Crews gained a measure of revenge from a few weeks back, attacking Sheamus backstage after finding himself the butt of the Celtic Warriors joke. And in the main event for SmackDown, Chris Jericho defeated Ambrose following his trademark codebreaker. After the match, in the most predictable angle imaginable, the Lunatic Fringe regained his heat by attacking Y2J with a ladder to end the show. And that's your SmackDown spoiler.
It sounds like it'll be better than Raw, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm sure that last match helped you out.
Yeah, it did. It definitely helped me. That last match alone made me want to tune in tomorrow night. It really did. That did it. But
What did you want to kick off the news and rumors portion of the show with tonight?
Well, I have some news about WWE SmackDown possibly moving to 3 hours.
Whoa.
So it's an interesting, you know, it's an interesting report. There's updates to it that just came in 6 hours ago, so earlier this afternoon, from the Inquisitor. By the way, let me tell you guys something about Raw real quick, because I just remembered this off the top of my head. I'm sorry that I didn't bring it up while we were in it, but this is an important thing that I want to touch on real quick with Raw. I know why we got such a bad show that we got. And the reason for that being is that I heard, okay, I heard through the grapevine, you know, and rumors. Whether or not it's true, I don't know. Take it for what it's worth. Like I always say, it is a rumor. That the script for was not done and finalized and approved by Mr. McMahon until 6 p.m. 6 p.m. 2 hours before Raw even hit the air. So if you think about it, the guys don't really have time for rehearsals, because that's when they're opening the gates for fans to start coming in. Guys really can't rehearse spots. They can't really go over anything. They got to overdo, you know, everything on the fly with the scripts being the way that they are. And my solution to it would be, if I was working in the WWE, I would have the scripts done a week ahead of time. Everything would be a week ahead. Like, you know what? Say this Monday on Raw. Here's the script for next week. Take a look at it. Let's start getting ready. And whatever is not liked or not approved, you start working on it then to work through it and get it done and have it done ahead of time, so your superstars and all your surrounding counterparts in the shows have days ahead to prepare like they should have, to get the proper rehearsal times in, get things done that they need to get done, and actually make the show quality and make it great again. So that's just a little thing there when it comes to Raw. Just wanted to, you know, speak of that before I jump into news and rumors, but I do have news and rumors right here. So let's start off with my first story. This came out earlier today, June 8, 2016, and it's WWE News, SmackDown moving to 3 hours. This is from theinquisitor.com, written by Andy Slawecki. All right, so here we go. for Monday Night Raw's first 999 episodes, 1 or 2 hours seemed to fit seamlessly with the content the WWE was producing on a weekly basis. SmackDown was created during that era as a supplement to the long-running weekly episodic show in history. Following Raw's lead of 2 hours in its Thursday night primetime slot beginning in 1999, SmackDown remained 2 hours, while Raw occasionally would add a third hour for special shows like the company's return to the USA Network in 2005. A special memorial show for the storyline death of Vince McMahon, which turned into the controversial Chris Benoit episode, or a 15th anniversary episode. Then on July 23rd, 2012, the WWE aired its 1,000th episode of Raw, which naturally was reserved for 3 hours to celebrate the accomplishment. And not only did it kickstart the feud between CM Punk and The Rock, but it also ignited the permanent 3-hour format that we are accustomed to now. SmackDown did not follow suit, despite switching networks and nights on a number of occasions. But there is a chance that might all change come this. So, let's see, going forward here. A report from Daily Wrestling News states that there have been discussions between WWE officials and USA Network executives about adding a third hour when SmackDown goes live on Tuesday nights beginning July 19th. It had been reported that the USA Network's frustrations over SmackDown ratings were the main catalyst for the move to Tuesdays and for going live. After that decision was made, Vince McMahon and the company decided to move ahead with the brand extension, and though USA forced the WWE into making SmackDown go live on Tuesdays, it was not willing to pay for the extra cost it takes to make that transition. However, according to this new report, it appears they may be willing to pony up for a potential third hour because of all the buzz that the brand split has generated. There still seems to be quite a bit of debate and decision making to be done as it pertains to the entire brand split. Who will be in charge of each show? Who will make up the rosters of each show? And will there be two world champions? And now we can add, will SmackDown add a third hour to its program, to that list? So, last week on the Wrestling Observer Radio, Dave Meltzer speculated that adding a third hour would be a bad idea, mostly for the WWE. Many fans have been frustrated with the length of the show for some time now, and there are many within the WWE that feel the same way. That there had been a feeling throughout the locker room that earning a spot on the SmackDown roster would be more beneficial, not only because it appears as if it will adopt more to the new era style, but because the 2 hours will keep fans locked in throughout. There are potential issues with WWE's intercontinental partners and the chance that those markets would not want to cough up money for that third hour again. PW Torch went to the numbers to make a case against the idea that adding a third hour with an eye-opening look at the most recent episode of Raw, the third hour saw a 16.8% decline from the second hour, the biggest drop ever in the history of the three-hour format. Only 2.903 million viewers stuck around for the end, which is the second fewest in all of 2016. SmackDown is being created as Raw's new competition and designed to reinvigorate the fan base, complaining of a stale product. While no decisions have been made yet, all the evidence would indicate that adding that third hour would be a colossal mistake. So, that's a lot to take in. If I'm going to give you my honest opinion on this, I will tell you right off the bat that adding a third hour for SmackDown, I agree, would be, you know, a colossal mistake. Right now, if you really take a look at how everything is at present day, even a third hour for Raw is a mistake. And right now, think about this. Raw has the whole roster, on hand, set, and ready to go every Monday night. And yet, they still give us a shitty product. They still do it. And I can only imagine what 3 hours of Raw is going to turn into with only 50% of that roster on hand. I believe the show's going to suffer. And then to do the same to SmackDown when you have 50% of a roster, no. Don't make that third hour. I mean, I love watching wrestling. I was for the 3 hours when it first happened because when WWE would do their 3 hour specials, you know, back in 2005, like we were talking about, those specials were great. It was some of the greatest things I've ever seen. So I'm like, wow, you know, we're going to see 3 hours of this every week. This is going to be great. And then everything fizzled away. And to do that SmackDown, I really do think that would be one of the most colossal mistakes. And I don't think they should do it because they have to realize you're doing a brand extension draft, which I don't want to happen to begin with for these reasons. I don't want it to happen. It's going to make the company even worse. It will. But to only have 50% of the roster on hand, God, I can only imagine how Raw's going to hurt from this, how maybe even SmackDown's going to hurt from this. 50% of the roster, oh my God. It's like WWE, what are you thinking? But, you know, unfortunately, it's out of our hands. It's all up to their higher-ups and big business executives, but it's definitely not something I am for. And I just hope they figure out the right things to reinvigorate this product because this new product, this new era really needs to shape up because it's in trouble. And, you there, Sean?
Yep.
All right. So, that's my thoughts on my first story. If you got any comments on it, go right ahead.
Yeah, I just think both shows should be 2 hours. I mean, I said that before.
Yeah. Yes, I didn't mean to cut you off, but yes, right when you said that, I totally agree, especially with the brand extension, having half the roster, 2 hours for each show is more than enough. That's all you need. That is really all you need.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, what should we talk about here? No, there's so much going on. Man, oh man, oh man. I just gotta, finally go ahead and pick one here, I guess. Let's talk about this. Our buddy EC3, head on over to some TNA news. He talks about his very first pinfall loss to Mike Bennett. Sure, we're all interested in this. Oh, fucking pop-ups. Sean Ross Sapp of WrestlingINC.com reports that TNA's anniversary pay-per-view takes place this Sunday, celebrating 14 years of the company. In one of the most high-profile bouts on the card, former TNA champion Ethan Carter III takes on newcomer Michael the Miracle Bennett in a rematch. Bennett defeated EC3 on a recent episode of Impact in a shocking upset. EC3 told me that he gained a measure of respect for Bennett with the victory. He's the first man to pin me in TNA wrestling. I think that's a pretty big deal. I've been through a lot against some of the best competition in the world. Not all of my victories in the past were of the utmost pristine, but one thing that happened was no one could ever pin me. A commendable task, Carter said. Despite the differences, EC3 said that he's seen a lot of similarities between the two. I asked the former TNA champion EC3 as a character looks at Mike Bennett as himself at points. We're kind of bizarro each other, but we have the same goals. So it's an interesting dynamic. I think we're telling a cool and unique story. Flashy entrances, questionable haircuts. He has Maria. I used to have Rockstar Spud when I came in. Maybe kind of overmatched with some of the veteran guys, but holds on to become victorious, and that's what truly matters. Very similar, yet vast differences between us. I'm probably going to powerbomb him 8 times, said EC3. EC3 also made waves during a recent appearance for Evolve, where he took the mic and said that that he and Drew Galloway weren't given the right opportunities while in WWE, and the angle worked, gaining a ton of attention online. In addition to Slammiversary this weekend, EC3 is also performing at 2 Evolve shows. It came about because I think I'm a wrestling genius, and I have a great idea, and I was allowed to run with it, EC3 explained. I thought with a little innuendo and a couple of buzzwords, I could get the whole industry talking, and that's what I did. I wanted to do something else buzzworthy. So in 2016, with the landscape of wrestling, with Evolve's affiliations and what's going on at this show, my ability to truly be an independent contractor, it was worth a risk. I have these 2 Evolve shows where I'm going to toss the shit out of little guys all over the ring and lariat their faces off. It's going to be pretty sweet. So EC3 also briefly spoke to me about his recent trip to Mexico for a AAA World Cup. He noted that he wasn't sure of the rumors that TNA could host the event, but welcomed it with open arms. He says, TNA itself got quite a bit of buzz last week due to the polarizing Hardy Boys contract signing. And EC3 and the other talents performing on behalf of TNA in Mexico last weekend took it upon themselves to parody the much-talked-about video. I don't know if you've seen the Hardy contract signing, but Matt Hardy is out of his skull, Carter said. They came out with a segment that was met with a lot of buzz, and the way I look at this business was good, bad, indifferent, doesn't matter. What matters is that the people are talking. People were talking, so much so, I was in Mexico with Eli Drake, don't always see eye to eye with him, Rockstar Spud, Tyrus, and Josh Matthews. We were watching this segment, and I thought it was ripe for parody. If we don't, somebody else is going to capitalize on it, and we're better at it. In a couple of hours, we whipped up that little video, secretly put it on the Impact YouTube account, and the original finish had to be taken out due to me being profane. Wow. Everyone contributed equally, and Eli Drake was the editor of the video. I give credit where it's due. Pay it forward. I can't ever fault anyone for trying something. Success, failure, you don't know until you try it, says EC3. And in case you were wondering, TNA Slammiversary takes place this Sunday, June 12th. And Wrestling INC will have full live coverage of the event. You can download our full chat with EC3 at this link on WrestlingINC.com. or hear it in the audio and video lists at the top and bottom of the page. Thanks again to Sean Ross Sapp. That's at Sean Ross Sapp on Twitter of WrestlingINC.com for that spectacular interview with all of our buddy EC3.
EC3, I'll tell you, what an incredible human being that he is. He really is an incredible human being.
I thought you might.
What was that?
I said I thought you liked that story.
Yes, I enjoyed very much, and you know, thanks for sharing that with me and all of our fans here. You know, anything with EC3, EC3 is just such an incredible talent. He really is, and I, you know, just wish him the best and hope for the best, you know, for his career. And I really think that him and the Miracle Mike Bennett is going to be a great match. I think those guys are going to steal the show. They're going to really put a buzz on the TNA product. And I think that they're really going to shake up the world, so to speak. And I'm very excited to see the show that those two men are going to put on at Slammiversary. Because I remember I was talking about this a little while back in one of my TNA reviews, and I was talking about how I feel that TNA, you know, they could have EC3 and Mike Bennett even for the title, because this is back when EC3 was champion, and, you know, I think it definitely could have worked, and, you know, now with them getting to have a feud, I think it's great. I think it's awesome. It's definitely entertaining. Very entertaining. And, you know, I just hope the best for these guys, and I know they're gonna go out there and they're gonna put on a show like no other. But, other than that, I do have a big story here, coming through, and it's about Triple H leading a possible NXT invasion when WWE has the brand extension.
Told you.
Yep, Sean, I know he called that a little while back. Let's see. I'm going to pull this up for you guys and, you know, let's see what you think. This is something that came out earlier in the week, and, you know, I just wanted to save it because I really wanted to, report on this. So let me get it pulled up. Okay. Trying to go on the Inquisitor.com to pull up the story, and it's saying nothing to be shown. All right, let me go SportRageous.com here. They still have the story up here. WWE rumors NXT invasion storyline happening with Triple H as the leader. Let's see. I'm having all kinds of pop-ups here. Hold on, people. This is not cooperating with me. Here we go. All right, now I just hope to quit getting these pop-ups. All right. WWE rumors. What, Sean?
Great top story choice.
Hey, thanks, man. All right. Now I got it running. Let's hope we get no more pop-ups here on the old computer while I'm reading it. WWE rumors NXT invasion storyline happening with Triple H as the leader. The WWE will be bringing the brand extension back, and SmackDown is going to air live on Tuesday starting July 19th on the USA Network. According to the latest WWE rumors, there is a possibility that Triple H will lead an invasion storyline during the Superstar Draft on July 11th. So this would be taking place on draft day, if this is true. So let's dig a little deeper into this and analyze this some more. The WWE will be bringing the brand extension back. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. The page rolled up and it scrolled me right back to where I was. This website is just not being cooperative right now. All right. Here we go. Triple H has not made an appearance ever since losing the WWE World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania 32 against Roman Reigns. His wife, Stephanie McMahon, is in the middle of the new McMahon era angle with her father, Vince, and, brother Shane. And let's see, gotta scroll down again. All right. Former WWE superstar and announcer Taz suggested a great storyline for the WWE to use in their upcoming brand split. In an interview with Sports Illustrated, the human suplex machine said that the WWE should cut Raw to 2 hours. Wow, we were just talking about that. We were just talking about that. Not Taz is talking about it. They should cut Raw to 2 hours and put NXT as the pre-show on Monday nights. Now, Stephanie and Shane have a kind of sibling rivalry. So Stephanie will run SmackDown and Shane will run Raw. Stephanie will ask, why do you get 3 hours on your brand and I only get two on mine? Taz said. Then Vince can come out and settle the argument between his kids by making it plain and simple. Raw and SmackDown will both be 2 hours. When someone asks what happens, then boom. You play Triple H's music and you give NXT to Triple H, he added. Now Danny Cox of the Inquisitor thinks that it is not a bad idea and it makes a lot of sense since the game started the new era back in NXT. Also, Triple H has teased the end of the NXT brand on Twitter with the next live event special titled NXT Takeover The End. Now, this is where it gets even more weird. And there are no touring dates scheduled for NXT past the July 19th date. None. So what does that mean? That leads into something big right there. But Wrestling Inc. also reported that a rumor draft list is making rounds online and most on-screen NXT stars will be part of the brand split. Nonetheless, these are all just speculations as many fans cannot wait on what the future of NXT and the entire WWE will become on July 11th. So, I mean, these are all rumors, you know, take them with a grain of salt, as I always say. But that last line, the one line in the report that closed the last paragraph of this report, there are no touring dates past July 19th for NXT.
Yeah, but there are, I mean, they're still having the show in Brooklyn.
Well, they're having the show in Brooklyn, but can this turn into maybe like NXT with the main roster, kind of like a Brooklyn invasion?
I really like that concept of, I just almost wish there was a way that they move SmackDown from 9 to 11 too, and give NXT the first hour of both nights, and that way everyone has 2 hours. NXT has 2 hours, just split up in two different nights.
That's true, because NXT does have enough talent where they could get certain guys in on Monday, certain guys in on Tuesday. Now, the other weird thing is, July 19th is when SmackDown is starting to go live on Tuesday. Don't you find it strange that there's no NXT live events on the calendar? There is no NXT house shows. Period. No events on the books besides Brooklyn past July 19th.
I've been saying that some sort of invasion was going to happen ever since Stephanie gave her brother the death stare after she gave him that present, that peace offering.
But it sounds like if they do this, like we always say, we got to remind again, this is just speculation. Don't read too much into this, people, but we're just speculating on the rumor and giving it to you, you know, how we feel. And,
well, let's put it like this. Okay. If, if WWE, you know, put SmackDown from 9 to 11 and Raw was from 9 to 11, and they had an NXT before Raw and they had an NXT before SmackDown, would that mean that, you know, NXT Tuesday night had an exclusive cast? You know, would there be two separate casts for NXT? I don't think so.
No, it would all be one roster.
Yeah, but wouldn't it make sense, like, if there was a cast for Tuesday nights? Like, those would be the guys that go up to SmackDown. And the separate cast for Monday, those would be the guys that go up to Raw.
See, now I took it a different way. I took it as a way, if you have them perform on Monday, you know, or Tuesday, on both days, this gives Raw fans to check on NXT. This gives SmackDown fans to check on NXT. It brings a lot of exposure to it because you're going to have basically the whole WWE, you know, fan body. The whole fan body is going to be watching, you know, whoever watches Raw and SmackDown, they will get to see part of NXT. So that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I really like that idea. So.
It's something I wish that they would do, you know? Finally take that risk. Don't be scared. Just, you know, take it and run with it.
Yeah.
I mean, they need to. They really desperately need to, man. I mean, you know how many times I've been on here complaining about the product, and I don't bitch and moan and complain about the product, you know, just because I'm someone that wants to come on here and hate on it. I'm not like that. I want to come on here and legitimately be over the moon about what I've seen on my TV, and where I could just tell the fans, like, wow, can you guys believe what we saw tonight? I'm so happy. This show's a 10 out of 10. It's, you know what, it's beyond a 10. This show was absolutely incredible. I want to come on here and say that. That's what I wish I could come on here and say. It sucks that I can really only say that truly when it's WrestleMania. It seems like that's the only time to when I can say it with a legit truthfulness. But I'm just praying that they fix it, that they really fix it. I just don't see how a brand extension is going to help. I try to think and I try to think and I try to think and I go over it again and again and again in my mind. I think they're hurting it. They are hurting it more than they realize. I really feel that way. Well, whether I'm overanalyzing it, I don't know, but
it's all about to happen, you know. July will be here within the blink of an eye. And you know what? I'm keeping an open-minded approach to it. I've accepted that it's gonna happen. I'm gonna try and enjoy it, you know. The first time the brand split came around, I ended up, you know, jumping ship a little bit soon after, and hopefully this time I get to actually enjoy it and, you know, experience a solid brand split that they don't mess up. I mean, they just have to do it right and, you know, make it enjoyable. And I think by having SmackDown live that's a big step in the right direction. And like Taz said, maybe having NXT in the 8 o'clock hour on Mondays, that's another step in the right direction. So we shall see. But ladies and gentlemen, speaking of NXT, we have the NXT The End results.
Now, I will tell everybody right off the bat, just hearing Sean say those words, NXT The End, it just, it makes me feel so good inside. Like, to me, this was real wrestling. This is what we want to see. This is what we crave to see. And now this is some excitement. I can't wait to give you guys my opinion on this show. I am really pumped.
Well, in the first dark match of the night, Amber Moon defeated Peyton Royce in a singles match, for those of you who cared. And in the very first night of the main card, Hernande Cien Almas defeated Ty Dillinger. Wow, I screwed that up. I think his name is just Cien, we're going to stick to, in a singles match that lasted 5 minutes and 22 seconds. So one of my draft picks taking a loss here, kicking off NXT tonight. That sucked.
I thought that match was phenomenal, though. Like, did you see some of the spots?
Yeah.
That they did in that match? Like, Ty Dillinger, you know, doing what? Like a handstand or a headstand on the top rope. And CN just super kicking him up there. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It, and just that moonsault, doing the flip, landing on his feet, then going right directly into another flip for a moonsault. Incredible, incredible talent. I could not be happier. I really could not be happier with what I seen. I swear was something great to kick off the night. I really thought that CN was going to go out there and bury Ty Dillinger. I'm not saying that I think Ty Dillinger's a bad talent because he's a great talent. I just figured that CN was going to be one of those guys that they're going to want to get over big, and they're going to use Ty Dillinger to do that, and Ty Dillinger's kind of going to take the squash, but they didn't do that. They made this a good competitive matchup. These guys gave it everything they had. And I'm thinking to myself, like, wow, this is the first 10 minutes of Takeover The End. I'm like, what are we gonna get for the next hour 45? Because this was damn good. That's what I was thinking. I could not be happier.
It was all uphill from there with the Revival, Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder. They defeated American Alpha, Jason Jordan, and Chad Gable, the champions.
See, this shocked me. It really did.
So yeah, this was for the NXT tag team match, tag team championships. It lasted 15 minutes on the dot. So wait, American Alpha were the champions and now the Revival are, correct?
Yes. And then there were these two guys, I forgot their names. They came out and Paul Ellering was standing on the rampway. They attacked American Alpha after their loss.
We don't know their names.
No, I didn't hear their names.
They didn't say them, that's why, yeah.
And I'll tell you, it was like, so they took the titles off American Alpha for them to feud with these guys. It's like, I really thought American Alpha was going to get a good solid run. I thought they were going to be like how the Ascension was when the Ascension held the titles for like a year. And I thought that's what American Alpha was going to get because they are just so over. You go out there and you hear that crowd for American Alpha. They have such a following. They have people that they just legit love these guys. They really do. They legit love these guys, and they're a great tag team, and I'm surprised that they pulled the belts off of them so quickly, because it's not like they had a tag title defense. They really didn't book American Alpha in a title defense since, you know, Takeover Dallas. It's been 2 months, And, you know, in their first defense, they have them drop the titles like that. So it's like, wow. I don't know where they're going with it, but the way they booked it, they must know where they want the Revival to go. Maybe this means that American Alpha is going to feud with these two guys managed by Paul Ellering, and then they're going to go up to the main roster? I don't know. But
I think it's setting up Paul Ellery's team to go after the Revival, because American Alpha is on their way to the main roster during this whole July 11th thing.
You know what? I could see that, because American Alpha is honestly too great to be kept in developmental.
Yep.
You could put them in the tag team division right now, and at SummerSlam, put American Alpha against the New Day. I guarantee you, as over as the New Day is now, American Alpha will be more over in Brooklyn. The fans would want to see them beat the New Day. That would be legit.
Well, you want to talk about...
Great tag match, though. Great, solid tag match. I really do got to say, these two teams put it together. I don't know what you thought, but I thought it was a great match.
Absolutely, man. Doesn't get much better than that. And speaking of legit, like you were saying, the next match, the third match of the night, Shinsuke Nakamura defeated Austin Aries in a true clinic that lasted 17 minutes and 5 seconds. What a beautiful match. It just never gets old with Nakamura, and Austin Aries too. It totally blew the mind off of me, being someone that has actually never even seen one of his matches before. It was just beautiful.
I'll tell you, Aries and Nakamura, if, you know, anybody just wants to see the pure art form of professional wrestling, this match embodied it. This match was indeed the art of professional wrestling. Like you said, Sean, it was beautiful. The motions, just the great moves, the smoothness, how light they are on their feet, just how they move around that ring, how they execute their moves, how great the ring awareness, their education as to, you know, their wherewithal, what they're doing in that ring, just unbelievable. And the moveset that they have to pull off, oh, honestly, you know, I don't know if I'll take heat for it or not, but I do gotta say, in my opinion, this was the match of the night, even over the main event. This match was just a thing of beauty. It was a work of art. This is what pro wrestling is all about. I've seen Austin Aries many times in TNA. Austin Aries has gone on to have some of the best matches against Jeff Hardy, Bobby Roode. I mean, now that I see Bobby Roode backstage in NXT, you know, we can have Bobby Roode and Austin Aries revisited. I mean, there's so many opportunities. But Nakamura is just such an incredible talent. I could see Nakamura going at it with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, finally having a match in the States like they had in Japan. Their match in Japan was an absolute clinic. For them to bring that to the States would be phenomenal. But as far as Aries and Nakamura, what they did tonight, they were Rembrandt, and they painted that canvas in the finest way, and they presented the sport of professional wrestling in the brightest light. And that is something, that match is what makes you proud, what makes you so proud to be a professional wrestling fan. A fan of the sport, a fan of the art. Those two men made you damn proud to be a professional wrestling fan, in my book. Absolutely beautiful.
Well, I couldn't agree more there. The fourth match of the night,
NXT The End, Asuka, the women's champion, defeated the challenger Nia Jax in 9 minutes and 12 seconds.
You know, the match was good. It just seemed a little quick. I'm surprised that that it went as quick as it did. But I do gotta say, Asuka's the real deal, man.
Yeah, I think WWE has sort of given up on Nia Jax. I don't think she's connected nearly as much as they wanted her to. I'm just totally have like zero interest.
Yeah, like I will say this about Nia Jax, okay? She's a good talent. She really is, but this is where, all right, now people will be like, oh, Big T, you're saying this because, you know, you hate Eva Marie, blah, 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 blah. But no, this is not the case. I'm going to tell it to you with straight fact. When Nia Jax broke into NXT, people loved her. You know, people wanted to see Nia Jax. And then they paired up, they had Nia Jax lose to Bayley. Okay. You know, that happened. Nia Jax, you know, was still a hot commodity. People still wanted to see her. But then they paired Nia Jax up with Eva Marie. And once that happened, Nia Jax, you know, just never got the reaction from the crowd anymore. It's like, I think now when people look at Nia Jax, they kind of think of Eva Marie. It just, it killed all the momentum that she had. It's like once they hooked her up with Eva Marie, it killed her momentum, kind of really slowed her career down. I mean, if you look at the two, Nia Jax, I think she could still go on the main roster and make an impact. But as far as where she's standing right now, she's kind of in limbo. Not really getting a reaction from the people. Asuka is the one that's over right now. Asuka is the one that I could see going up to the main roster and making a huge, huge impact. Because as I seen tonight, Asuka's the real deal. And man, is she ready to go. Wow. She did a great job tonight. I thought the match was solid. I think Nia Jax, you know, is good in the ring, but you know, fans are just not connecting with her. And I think that's because of that whole connection with Eva Marie. It ruined things for Nia Jax and, you know, people are just turned off by her right now. And Asuka is as over could be in the women's division. And, you know, she did a great job and, you know, hats off to Asuka, you know, for retaining the title and having a great match tonight. I definitely enjoyed it a lot.
Well, it's that time of the night, people. The NXT inaugural cage match. Yes, the first ever cage match for the NXT championship was the fifth and final main event of the night. Samoa Joe, the champion, defeated the demon Finn Balor in a steel cage match for the NXT championship match that only lasted 16 minutes and 10 seconds. 10 seconds, only, you know, it's the second longest match of the night, second to Nakamura Aries, so wasn't the longest match. It was a damn good match, sort of rushed, I think. I think people expected a lot more from it, but, no, you know, not taking anything away from Finn Balor. He did a great job. Samoa Joe, still boring to me, but that's my opinion. You might not agree, but that's how it is. Finn Balor carried the whole match and then, you know, gave the win to Samoa Joe like a good little boy. I'm just so bored of Samoa Joe. He's ruining NXT for me, but, you know, at least we still have Finn Balor there to make it enjoyable.
What do you think of the match as a whole? You know, looking beyond your feelings of Samoa Joe.
It's almost as if Finn Balor was wrestling like a inflatable teddy bear or some shit, like a big stuffed teddy bear that, you know, that we used to wrestle on my trampoline, like practicing wrestling moves on, you know, jumbo size stuffed animal. Like it was just, like Finn Balor lost to an inanimate object.
So you weren't too keen on that match then, huh?
Well, I enjoy seeing, Finn Balor, you know, with his artistry. I just think Samoa Joe is so boring. He's not intimidating. He's just annoying.
You know, I can understand where you're coming from. I mean, to some points. I mean, but I don't know. For some reason, you know, I've been entertained by Samoa Joe. I think Samoa Joe can do, you know, some pretty good things. But, you know, putting all that aside, I thought the cage match, it was better than the cage matches that we get on the main roster. That's for damn sure. The cage matches on the main roster, like when we seen one with on Slammy Night with Dean Ambrose and Sheamus, I mean, you know, the cage match on NXT was so much better. I believe it exemplified what a steel cage match should be. It was basically an old school steel cage match. Of course, without the blood, but it still had that old school feel to it. I like the look of the cage better in NXT. I like how they closed the cage in NXT rather than, you know, just lowering it and rising it like they do on the main roster. I mean, it's like they took the cage match and they revolutionized it, but yet kept it old school when they wrestled inside the cage. I loved it. I loved the match. It wasn't the best match of the night. Aries and Nakamura blew that out of the water. Hands down. Aries and Nakamura, I would have been content with that even being the main event. Not to take anything away from Balor or Joe, but Nakamura and Aries stole that show tonight. NXT TakeOver, the one thing to remember is Aries and Nakamura. They did it. They just did something that shook the world to its core, and I was, you know, proud of them. But back to Joe and Balor, I mean, Joe ended up getting the win, and, you know, it's just like I thought it would be. Joe would get the win, pin Balor. And, you know, I think this means that Balor is going to the main roster. I really think he is. Either on Money in the Bank or the night after Money in the Bank, maybe even in the John Cena AJ Styles match, you know, Cena will be about ready to win and here we'll get interference from Balor and he'll screw Cena or something like that. I just feel that Balor is coming. Balor is coming to the main roster. And it's gonna happen very soon. You know, he's done all he could do in NXT. I love watching Balor on NXT. Balor is as entertaining and, you know, as phenomenal as it gets, and he's gonna be huge and have championships and all that good stuff. But I think in NXT, his time is done. This was his swan song. He's moving on up to the main roster to bigger and better things. And Samoa Joe, I feel, is going to move on to have groundbreaking, earth-shattering matches with Bobby Roode, Austin Aries, and Eric Young. And possibly a fatal four-way with all the guys. And I think that's where NXT is evolving to. This was the swan song of Finn Balor to go on to the main roster, join the club, and maybe name it the Balor Club. And, you know, all those guys will be together up there being a dominant heel faction. But, yeah, Joe beating Balor at NXT, take over the end, and I thought was a great match. But like I said, to me, second best match of the night. Match of the night definitely goes to Aries Nakamura. I will be praising that match for a long time. A long time. I mean, Nakamura and Zayn at TakeOver Dallas 2, you know, that was another phenomenal match. I mean, Nakamura, anytime he gets in the ring, it's like you're just getting ready to see and artists go to work. Nakamura is somebody that if you don't know him, if you're new to wrestling and you're not familiar with Nakamura, trust me, once you sit down and you watch this guy work and you see him in a match, you will be a fan of Nakamura. You will like Nakamura. You will want to see him face all the greats. I can only imagine what Nakamura and John Cena would do in a ring. I can only imagine Nakamura and AJ Styles finally on American soil. Nakamura and Brock Lesnar on American soil. Nakamura and Chris Jericho. Nakamura and Cesaro. Nakamura and Kevin Owens. I could go on and on. Nakamura and Bobby Roode. Nakamura and Samoa Joe. Nakamura and Eric Young. I mean, I could literally go on and on. Even Nakamura and Dolph Ziggler, if you put Dolph Ziggler up high enough. Nakamura and Seth Rollins, for God's sakes. Nakamura can work. That guy is a workhorse. That he should be a future world champ. And if he's not, if they bring him to the main roster and Nakamura is left to rot, then WWE should be ashamed of themselves if that were to occur, because they have a gem in this man. And he proved it now at 2 straight takeovers, fighting Sami Zayn in a classic, a match of the year candidate, and definitely a match of the year candidate tonight with Austin Aries. Nakamura just keeps upping his game, having the best of the best matches, and I will always praise his work. Definitely one of my favorites.
Speaking of favorites, Big T, a great, great, great breakdown of NXT The End. I hope everyone enjoyed it. We love our NXT fans. We love NXT, and I do like Samoa Joe, people. He's just nowhere near as entertaining as Finn Balor, in my personal opinion. Just got to say that out there. Obviously, it's that time of the night where we talk about a little history.
Oh, sorry, Sean. First off, what do you rate TakeOver?
10 out of 10.
You know what, man? I honestly, I can't give it anything less. I'll even say 10+. It's, but definitely a 10. This, was an incredible event, and this embodied the sport and the art of professional wrestling in every sense of the word. But, there you go. Just wanted to throw that out there and get the ratings out there. So sorry I had to stop you, but wanted to make sure we got the ratings in.
Hey, no need to apologize. 19 years ago today, guess what happened? Well, the notorious Eddie Mack of Cage Side Seats is so kind to tell us that 19 years ago today, the WWF, if you will, presented King of the Ring 1997. Wow. Or excuse me, 1996. WWE Network link is above if you so choose to check this article out from the Providence Center in Rhode Island. 9,312 were in attendance, with 177,000 homes watching on pay-per-view. That was down from 197,000 homes from the 1996 event. So excuse me, this was 1997 pay-per-view. King of the Ring 19 years ago today, in a pre-show free-for-all match, the Headbangers, Mosh, and Thrasher defeated Bart Gunn and Jesse James. Hunter Hearst Helmsley defeated Ahmed Johnson in a King of the Ring semifinal match. Mankind defeated Jerry Lawler in a King of the Ring semifinal match. Goldust defeated Crush, the Hart Foundation, Owen Hart, Jim Neidhart, the British Bulldog defeated the Legion of Doom and Psycho Sid. And then the moment that changed history and that gave us NXT tonight, most likely, Hunter Hearst Helmsley defeated Mankind to win
the 1997 King of the Ring tournament, really solidifying Triple H as a long-term persona and just an icon of the sport, began 19 years ago today. I definitely believe so. But that wasn't all for this historic show 19 years ago today. Steve Austin fought Shawn Michaels to a double disqualification, and The Undertaker defeated Farouk to retain the WWF Championship. All of that 19 years ago today. 1997, King of the Ring, Triple H begins, and the rest is history. And that was today in WWE history.
That was actually when Triple H's whole reign to the top started, 97. It was supposed to start a year earlier in 96.
No.
But if you recall, you know, with the whole curtain call, the click and everything, Triple H had to take the punishment, take the fall, you know, build himself back up. And, you know, Triple H, he did that. He built himself back up. He did what he had to do. And, you know, he went on to have an absolutely incredible career. And, you know, look at where he is today. He's practically a WWE Hall of Famer. To me, when I think Triple H, Triple H is already a WWE Hall of Famer. It's just, you know, it's just a matter of time when he's finally going to get that call to officially get sworn in and enshrined into the WWE Hall of Fame, so to speak. And King of the Ring 97, I remember it like... like yesterday. Oh man, being a 9-year-old kid and, you know, getting to see it actually, you know, a few years later. I think I seen it sometime around 2000, 2001 when I used to buy all the old VHSs at a store called FYE. And I, you know, big collector when I got into it big time and, you know, just seeing that Austin and Shawn Michaels for the first time and Triple H and Mankind in that classic King of the Ring finals and, you know, Farouk, that was when Farouk was at his ultimate height facing The Undertaker. Just some incredible stuff. And, you know, that's when wrestling was in its golden years. 96 began a period I like to call the golden years. And it's like for me, my golden period ran from 96. My favorite years of wrestling ran from like 96 through 2002, like six of the best years in wrestling. And then by the time you got to 2003, 4, 5, that's when the brand extension was in full effect. And you know, that's when it started to kind of go down for me. Then they ended up PG programming, you know, 5 years later. And I'm like, good God. And look at where we're at today. I'm here giving Raws 1 out of 10s. And, you know, basically, you know, dissecting the product to, and, you know, talking about all the worst when I should be talking about all the best that we as fans, you know, should be enjoying. But unfortunately, so far, haven't been able to do that, but hopefully can do it soon if Seth Rollins can win the WWE Championship at Money in the Bank. I know that will be something for me to definitely celebrate along with Sean, and that'll make us both happy. And then we need Chris Jericho to win the Money in the Bank briefcase, go back and tour with Fozzy, take the Money in the Bank case off the TV, people will forget about it. Then when Jericho makes his return, he'll cash in. People will be like, oh shit, that's right, Jericho still has the briefcase. Then he'll cash it in. And I'll win that title and go on one more illustrious run as the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Oh, but that's just me dreaming in a fantasy world, people. But
hey, gotta dream.
Huh?
Gotta dream.
Hey, That's all we can do, right, brother?
Yep.
When times are bad, dream, think of the good things, or, you know, book your dream scenarios, and just try to look at the best yourself, and that's what I'm trying to do. But definitely some good stuff. I'm just glad that NXT gave us something to really sink our teeth into, and I could not be happier for that. But, that about wraps it up for this week's show. And I know Sean and I will be back with the Beyond the Ring with Big T podcast. I'm thinking we might change the day. What, you Tuesday?
Not sure yet. That's really up in the air. Sometime next week.
All right. So sometime next week, people, not sure on the day, when exactly it'll take place, but we'll definitely, it's guaranteed some point next week we will be back. We're doing a show. We'll be here to break everything down. So not to worry. We'll be back. But, yeah, plenty of good things happening. Next week on the show, just to give you guys a little teaser, next week on the show,
exclusive interview next week on the show. Tune in. Everyone wants to hear his UFC plans. Here.
Dude, I wish Brock Lesnar was on. But in all series.
Hulk Hogan live only here on the show.
Hey. That's an open invitation, guys. You want to come on the show? Come on. If you're listening, we'd love to have you.
Just getting breaking news. After the Hulk Hogan interview, we have The Rock lined up, Vince McMahon, Stephanie McMahon, Shane McMahon. Next week's show is just going to be incredible. Make sure you subscribe because you don't want to miss it.
What about Chris Jericho?
You can't make it. It's a contract dispute with his podcast, but we will also be having Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair will be here too.
Well, as long as we have Stephanie McMahon.
And, the biggest superstar of all time, Eva Marie, will be live on the show to confront Big T. Tune in next week. Live.
No! No! It's
gonna be a great show next week, and I just wanna say thank you to Big T for having me, and I hope everyone has a great week. Peace and love.
Hey, Sean, no problem. I'm more than happy to have you here and, you know, thank you for coming on and hanging out with me and everybody here every week. And, in all seriousness though, people, in all seriousness, next week's show, of course, we're going to talk about Raw. We'll have the SmackDown spoilers. We'll have all that good stuff. And, you know, I'll do a quick NXT recap, you know, all the things of that nature. But the main focus, and everybody get ready now, you know, leave your comments if you're watching on YouTube when we do the show live, or even when you subscribe on iTunes, if you find me on YouTube, leave your comments while we're live next week. Money in the Bank predictions are going to be taking place. Money in the Bank predictions. Yep, that cash register is going off, and we're going to break down the whole card. I'm talking entire card, where we break it down from the pre-show all the way up to the main event, and we tell you exactly what we think is going to happen in each and every match and who the winners and losers are going to be. So make sure you join in to be on the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast, WWE News and Rumors Podcast, next week. So, thank you. It is about that time, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to have our friend of the show that, Sean was talking about earlier, Mr. EC3, gonna sign us off. Like he does each and every week. and like how he signs me off on each and every one of my YouTube shows as well. So we're going to turn it over to the man himself to sign us out on another successful week. And as far as to everybody that watched here tonight and subscribed to the podcast and YouTube channel and, you know, giving a 5-star rating on the podcast and subscribing, all that good stuff. Thank you. And I appreciate and love each and every one of you. I'll leave the links down below for our mock draft episode. I'll leave the links below for where you can find me on Podomatic and iTunes. So all that good stuff will be in the description down below. And thank you guys again very much for joining. Don't forget to join in next week for Money in the Bank predictions. And it's going to be a big, big week. So thank you very much. You guys have a great week. And we will talk to you next week. And right now we're going to turn it over and sign the show out with Mr. EC3, Ethan Carter III. Good night, everybody. And we will talk to you all and see you next week. Good night, everybody.
Well, this is EC3 of TNA Wrestling, and you are so very fortunate because you are watching Beyond the Ring with Big T.